I wonder how many of you like clothes. Well, I see some of you got clothes on, so I think you like them, so I'm glad you put them on. How many of you like new clothes? Yeah, who's going clothes shopping after this when I get done? Right here, yeah. I love getting new clothes, and I'm glad that you like them too. My name is Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you in the lobby after the service. Well, we're on week 5 of our domino effect. We've been talking about the impact a 2-inch domino can have on a domino 1.5 times greater than itself, all the way down to a domino that is just as big that can knock over, number 33, can knock over the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, that's the amount of force a domino can generate to knock over the next domino. And in this series, we've been talking about when we get each domino in Colossians, we understand the impact that we can have, that God can have on us, and that we can have on our community. Our first domino is Christ in me, or the proximity of that we can have to the ascended Christ. And that is really important, the first one. The next one is Christ in you. And the third one is Christ in us. And then the last one, the one we did last week, number 4, is that Christ is our life. And when we realize that, everything that we do, everything that we're about, everything that the way we communicate is that Christ is our life. And this is the thing that keeps us moving forward. And so we've been going through the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to Colossae, Paul responsible for communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean. And he is in jail, he's in chains, and he is communicating to this church in Colossae what it means to follow Christ. How it's important that we get these dominoes. It's important that we get these important theological concepts. And today we are talking about our method. What is it that we need to do? What's the method we need to do in order to communicate this? So I brought along my closet today. I hope you're okay with that. I brought my closet along with me. And I like, you know, we wear clothes for different reasons, for different occasions. Sometimes when I'm exercising, I like to wear this coat. I like to wear this top. This top communicates I'm ready for exercise. You guys exercise and wear exercise clothing? Nod your head. Good. And depending on the situation, depending on the environment we are in, we will change our clothing accordingly. And so if I've got a wedding to do, a wedding rehearsal to do, I'll wear something different to communicate what I want to tell other people. What everyone else has got nice clothes on, you wear them and communicate that, right? Unless you live in Florida, how many Florida-bred people do we have here? Yeah. You wear flip-flops, everything. You guys are weird. Whether it's Christmas, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a funeral, you all wear flip-flops to everything. Some of you got flip-flops on now, right? Yeah, that's okay. But the rest of the country wears clothing fitting to the occasion. So, you know, I've got a bit of an insecurity with this one. This is one of my favorite. When I was a kid, my mother would never let me buy any brand gear. She would never let me buy any, you know, things with nice names. When we were growing up, we always had Adidas 4-stripe, you know, like we'd always have. These are just the same, honey. These are just the same. So when I got older, I always wanted to have Adidas. I don't get any credit from this from Adidas, by the way. But I always wanted to have, like, clothes that reminded me when I was growing up. So when I'm hanging out and when I want to look cool, I'll wear this jacket, yeah? And all the kids can see who I am, and everyone thinks I'm cool, right? All right, again. And then today, of course, is important. We're celebrating our graduates. And in the last service, we celebrated our Westlake graduates. And people who were here celebrating that would wear clothing accordingly. And so different people, including myself, would had a jacket on. It's an important thing going on. Maybe it's a baptism. Maybe it's an important announcement. We're going to say some things that I don't particularly want to say. Yet I'll wear a jacket to say the occasion that's going on for. So depending on what environment I am in and what you are in, you will wear clothing accordingly. And depending on where you grow up will depend on what you wore. And my mother was always one that had clothes, even when we were poor, and clothing was an important part of my life. When I was in the military, I didn't even have to think about clothes because they tell you what to wear. There's a little note that says, today you'll be wearing number 8 clothing. Tomorrow you'll be wearing number 3 clothing. Then when I left the military, I walked in the closet and like, what am I going to wear now? I didn't know what to wear because nobody was telling me what to wear. But clothing is really important. What you wear, how you wear it, where the environment it is, and what you wear in that environment is really important. And Paul is talking about clothing today. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Of course, we're still in Colossians. We're still in chapter 3 like we were last week, but this time we're in verse 12. So if you've got your Bible with you, you've got one in front of you, open it to chapter 3. Verse 12 is where we are. If you're online, open up another tab. If you're on your phone, which I know you are, Google it. Colossians 3, 12. Paul says this, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Now, most English translations of this verse 12, instead where it says, since God, normally says, therefore. Now, when you see a therefore in Scripture, you always say, what is the therefore? Therefore. In the other service, they said it, so you guys are going to say it. Ready? When you see a therefore in a text, you ask yourself, what is the therefore? Therefore. Good job. Yeah, yeah. What is the therefore, therefore? And the therefore is there for the Scripture before it. Verse 11 says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Essentially, Paul has been communicating through these last three chapters that all of you are welcome into the kingdom of God. Amen? All of you, whether slave, barbaric, free, whether you come from Palm Harbor, whether you come from Greenland, no matter what has gone on in your life, and especially the Gentiles in this context, you are now adopted into the family, the same family that the Hebrew family come from. You are privileged. You are in this root of Jesse, and Abraham is now your ancestor, just like the Hebrews. So Paul says, therefore, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your clothes on. I want you to put your clothes on. And he says there, clothe yourselves. And the Greek for that word, clothe, is endeo. It's the same word the writers used to talk about John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer clothed himself with a camel hair robe. That's the same word, endeo. It's the same word they used when they were talking about what the priests and the kings wore, the robes and elegant garments that kings wore. They endeoed these robes. And it's the same word we use when Paul talks about, and the gospel writers talk about being clothed with Christ, clothed with your new life. Clothe yourselves. Okay, you're going to have to help. I don't care how far you're sitting apart here, but what's the first one he says? We're going to put them on the screen here, but you're going to tell them to me. What does he say? What's the first one he says? Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. You guys can say it out loud. Tender hearted mercy. So the first garment, the first clothing we put on is tender hearted mercy. This means that when people ask you why, and you have this confidence, why you are excited about the peace of Christ within you, it's because you are going to be tender hearted to them. You're going to be able to understand where they're coming from. You're going to be able to, oh, what is it that's going on in your life? How can I share with you the peace of Christ that I have in my life? So the first one is tender-hearted mercy. The next one that Paul wants to close ourselves with is what? Kindness. Only one person wants to be kind. Clothe ourselves with kindness. That means no matter what side of things you're on, no matter what you're confused about, be kind to one another. There's going to be rifts in churches. There's going to be rifts in politics. There's going to be rifts in denominations. But just be kind to one another. Amen? Be kind. Bob Tuttle always says that when you're communicating the gospel, remember that the person in front of you is one of these four, H-A-L-T, halt. They're either hurting, angry, lonely, or tired. The person in front of you is either hurting, angry, or lonely, or tired, and can't wait to tell you about that. And if you've got this peace inside you, if you know Christ, if you know those four dynamos, then you are kind to the person. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Just be kind to one another, amen? The next one is what? Be humble or have humility. This is the third thing that Paul is telling us to put on. Be humble. Sometimes wear this shirt when I'm mourning or when I'm thinking about things that are sad. But be humble. Being humble does not mean thinking that less of yourself. Doesn't mean thinking less of yourselves, but it means thinking of yourself less. Be humble in the way you share this message. Be humble in the method that you use to communicate your hope in Christ. And the next one, I'm going to put my cool jacket on because I need this one really bad. What's the next one? Be gentle. Be gentle to one another. Have gentleness to one another. I need this jacket really bad. Gentleness. I need to be, normally I'm excited and that doesn't communicate as gentle. It doesn't communicate that I'm being careful with the other person. And a friend of mine got married and I was so excited for him that when I met her and I first met her, I was like, yeah, it's so nice to meet you, Jessica. And as I ran over to see her, I knocked a cup of coffee out of her hand and went all over the floor. And she was like, ah. Next time she seen me, she was really scared and like, ah, kind of thing. And knocked a cup of coffee again, two times. We never went for coffee again after that. Sometimes we don't communicate that we are gentle. Sometimes it doesn't come over that Christ loves us because we're not gentle. And I need this. Finally, number five, Paul says what? Be patient. Be patient with one another. And in our days of instant gratification, in our days of updates, news updates, in our constant updates of sport and things I want it now. I want it immediate. I should have had it yesterday. We need to learn delayed gratification again, amen? We need to learn that it takes time for things to be done properly. I need to learn this. It needs to be, thank you, Kathy. Kathy said amen. Especially with people. It takes time to communicate how much Christ loves them. Oh, I'm going to take your message immediately just because you said it. You have to sit with them, look at them in the eye, and tell them about the peace that you have. Okay, we're done, right? We got all five. We're all good? We're all good that we don't need anything else. What does the next verse say? With all these, put on love. Over all these, you see, these aren't enough. Paul said, over these, put on love. Now, it's graduation season. We had a bunch of kids over here last service for celebrating graduation from Westlake, 8th grade. And the robe is really popular around this season, the graduation robe. Graduation robe signified in history a few things. Back in the day, the robe signified where you were in religious history, where you were in tradition, where you were in academia. And you would wear these robes every day, you know, like in Harry Potter, you know. And they would wear these robes every day, and they have insignia on it, and you would wear a stole with what insignia that you were proud of, or what discipline that you'd studied in. And you'd wear this kind of robe all the time, and it would signify daily who you were and where you were on the pecking order of things. And of course, back then, priests and pastors and vicars were in the institution, and they'd wear their little floppy hat, and they'd wear their insignia or stole, which signified that they were representatives of Christ. Paul says, over all these things, put on love. Perhaps we need to wear robes again. Over all these things, put on love. Maybe we need to wear a robe all the time. I just got back from my daughter's graduation in New York, and it's interesting, you wear your robe all day there, and you're walking around the city before you go to graduation, and people saying, congratulations. And they can see what school you come from. They can see by the insignia on the school where you come from. They can see what you're wearing, what discipline you studied in. Or what is it that you're celebrating? Imagine if we wore our robes all the time. A robe of love. A robe that says, I have all these underneath, but really, the reason that I'm compassionate, the reason that I'm loving, the reason I'm tender-hearted and I have mercy is because I love you. This is the reason I have these things. And when we leave the sanctuary, let's take these off. We don't need these. When we leave the sanctuary, it's not like we don't need love anymore. When we leave the sanctuary, when we stop worshiping, it's not when we take off patience. We're not wanting to be patient anymore. I'm done with that. I don't need it, right? I did it for my hour in the church. I'm all good. Let's take that formal jacket off of patience. Yeah, I mean, I need patience, but I don't need it when I'm at home. Arguably, that's where we need it the most, amen? It's not like we're going to give up on patience when we're in our home. It's not like we take off the jacket of what's the one before that? Gentleness. Take off, I don't need to be gentle anymore. I can knock a couple of coffees over. Take that off. Don't need that anymore. It's not like we remove the clothes that we put on. I don't need this anymore. We'll take that off too. Take humility off, thank you, down the front here. I don't need to be humble anymore. I did it at church. I'm all good with that. What have we got left? Kindness. Take kindness off. I'm all good with that. I can be mean and judgmental now. By the way, no one was ever judged into the kingdom of God. People are only loved, remember? You were loved into the kingdom of God. You were loved into this church. And we definitely don't need tender-hearted mercy anymore. We're all good with that. I would argue that we need to continue to put these clothes on. We need to continue to put these virtues on. But why? Why do we need to put these on? Why do we need patience and gentleness and humility and kindness and tender-hearted and mercy? Because the former self is gone, and we trust and rely upon Jesus Christ. Amen? We trust that this new transformed relationship with God now propels us to do and to be a part of these five virtues. This is our method. Paul goes on to say in verse 15, you can follow along with me. And let the peace of Christ, so above all, clothe yourselves with love, but let the peace of Christ that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he's given you. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Paul says, through all of this, be thankful that you have peace. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. This means that amongst all the divisions that we have in our nation, in our country, in just even in local places, in churches and denominations, even amongst that, have this as an opportunity to show people the peace of Christ that you actually have. No matter who it is, you're in the room, like, just be kind to one another and show those who are upset with things that actually this is the kind of peace that Christ was talking about. This is an opportunity for us to share who it is that is our foundation, who it is that is our solid rock. He says, and he goes on to say, yeah, with these five things, if you're having a hard time remembering what they are, what these five things are, he says, sing. I love it. Sing hymns and psalms to one another. When I hear you sing, sometimes I don't feel like coming to church on a Sunday. Sometimes I don't feel like coming and being with you guys. But when I hear you sing, when I hear you worship, that invigorates me and stirs up the Holy Spirit within me. And I'm like, yes, now I know that I'm going to put these clothes on again. I need reminding all the time to put these clothes on. And when you stir up with these songs, when you stir these things up in your heart, you're excited about these things. Oh, yes, I know now. I must put my clothes on once again. Yes, I know. I must put these five things on. Notice these five things, by the way, counteract the nasty five things before in the scripture before. Paul does these things in five. And these five beautiful things counteract the other sins that he's talking about. Put these things on instead, he says. Put this beautiful, tender-hearted mercy on. Put it on daily. Put it on more and more and sing. When the Wesleys, the John Wesley and Charles Wesley, founded Methodism in England, John would preach way longer than 25 minutes, people. Way longer. But even when he preached, then Charles would put them into beautiful hymns. And we still sing them today. Whether you put real music to them or whether you put old music to them, whether you put a different music to them, we still sing those very songs today. And this would invigorate the people of 17th century England. These people would be so excited and they would teach through this doctrine. And through this, they'd realize, oh, yes, we've actually got to put these clothes on daily. We've actually got to put these different items on daily. We have to be faithful and being kind and tender-hearted. We have to be humble and gentle and patient. He goes on to say, towards the end of the text, he says, be representatives. I mean, wear your robe daily. Wear your robe daily. Be a representative. Be an ambassador. Be an emissary. In my travels around the country, I've been able, around the world and gone to different countries, I was able to see that each country has an ambassador to it. So depending on where you are, you have an ambassador from Spain, from France, from the UK, from the USA. And what is an ambassador in a different country? What does an ambassador do? And well, the chief job description for a US ambassador is this. Ambassador is someone who makes productive relationships within the country, whether the country is hostile or friendly. They look out to protect all US citizens abroad. You are ambassadors. You are ambassadors of this same grace. You look out whether things are hostile or whether they're friendly. You find places to speak the love of Christ. You wear the robe of love as you go around. And you say, yeah, I am an emissary for Christ. I am someone that wears this robe. I'm going to ask Julia and Maddie to come up. They're going to help me with the dominoes. Welcome them back to the stage. These are our graduates. Welcome them back. Yeah. They're going to help me with the dominoes. So we're at domino number 5. The dominoes are getting more. I'm going to ask you to get 1 and 2. Julia, good job. And if you would get number 3, Maddie, and I'll get 4 and 5. Thank you very much. So we're almost to the end here. Put them in front of the table right here, Julia. Yeah, hopefully you've got 1 and 2 either side like that, facing forward. That's it. And you've got 3. Good job, Maddie. So number 1 is in Julia's right hand, and number 1 is proximity to Christ. You guys have got to join in. Number 1 is proximity to Christ. Number 2 is Christ in you. Number 3 is Christ in us. Number 4 was what we did last week. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. And today, number 5, we get to Christ is our method. Our method is that we put on these 5 things. In fact, you might say that we are methodists. Some of you got it. All right, turn the dominoes this way. Okay, good. And now when we get all these dominoes, when we get the first one, you got to imagine these dominoes are a little bigger. They get bigger and bigger as you go along. When we get these dominoes, something starts to happen. Tick. Thank you so much. Can you guys go sit down? Thank you so much. The dominoes are falling. The dominoes of how Christ impacts your life are falling, and we are able to see that when we are close to Christ, we realize that Christ is in you, like not me, you. We realize that Christ is in us all together. We get together and we sing, we realize that. We realize that Christ is our life, number 4, that nothing else matters in this. And then what we do daily, put your clothes on. Put your clothes on daily. Put on these things. Put on the robe of love. This is our method. Christ is our method. And this is domino number 5. Christ is our method. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you that these dominoes are starting to fall in our life. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. And we're thankful, Lord, that you want us to clothe ourselves with your righteousness. You want us to clothe ourselves with these beautiful things that Paul mentioned. God, we pray we'd be tender. We pray that we would be forgiving. We pray that we would be people who are concerned about others. We pray, Lord God, that be patient and gentle. We ask, Lord, you fill our hearts today as we leave here, and we would just keep those clothes on. We keep putting the clothes on. We ask this in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.